Hello, a cold, cold case. The podcast about a cursed VHS videotape that destroys the life of anyone who watches it will return and be finished this year. And no, it is a fictional piece of media and not a reference to Nightmare on Elm Street 2. You can watch Nightmare on Elm Street 2 without any fear of visions assaulting you or other kind of aspects of that movie kind of going into your personal life or in your dreams. I would recommend that everyone go and watch Nightmare on Elm Street 2. It is a fascinating movie, especially a product of its time, and just, you know, there you go. In the meantime, I want to keep the esoteric nature of this podcast going, and we'll do a reading of Marjorie Cameron's poem, Cinderella in the Wasteland. Who is Marjorie Cameron, you may ask, right? You know, who is she in the cold, cold case? Well, I mean, you know, she's an incredibly overlooked figure in esoteric and occult history, which is weird, as she is literally the elemental woman that Jack Parsons believed he had summoned, and in many ways continued Parsons' Babylon working after his death. As you know, we had an episode already that referenced Jack Parsons a lot. You know, it was shocking to me that I was doing research and I found very little on Marjorie Cameron and, you know, her life even before or after Jack Parsons. I'm going to give a brief biography of her, as her story is fascinating. She was born in the American Midwest and joined the U.S. Navy after high school. Her childhood apparently was marked by her being difficult with her family and really not getting along with them and joining the Navy as soon as she possibly could. After she'd served about 4 years, she settled in Pasadena, California. There she met Parsons, who believed her to be the elemental woman that he had invoked in the early stages of a series of sex magic rituals called the Babylon Working, right? They entered into a relationship and were married in 1946. Their relationship was often strained, although Parsons sparked her involvement in Thelema and occultism. After Parsons' death and explosion at their home in 1952, Cameron came to suspect that her husband had been assassinated and began rituals to communicate with spirit. Moving to Beaumont, California, she established a multiracial occult group called The Children, which dedicated itself to sex magic rituals with the intent of producing mixed-race moon children who would be devoted to the god Horus. Which is just wild. And I can't believe this is not mentioned more often in literal books about Jack Parsons, how his widow went on to start a cult called The Children with the intent of making moon children. The group soon dissolved, largely because many of his members became concerned by Cameron's increasingly apocalyptic predictions. She began to exhibit more and more of the kind of classic cult leader signs of, you know, encouraging the members to kind of leave their families, to isolate themselves, and kind of focus entirely upon the group. However, you know, these people weren't following in that usual kind of, you know, pattern, and managed to kind of dissolve and leave that group entirely. So feeling that kind of cult leader kind of career, she returned to Los Angeles and befriended the social elite Samson D. Breyer and established herself within the city's avant-garde artistic community. Among her friends were the filmmakers Curtis Harrington and Kenneth Anger. She appeared in two of Harrington's films, The Wormwood Star and Night Tide. In later years, she made appearances in art house films created by John Chamberlain and Chick Strand. Rarely remaining in one place for long, during the 1950s and 1960s, she lived in Joshua Tree, San Francisco, and Santa Fe. Her art and poetry resulted in several exhibitions from the late 1970s until her death from cancer in 1995. Cameron lives in a bungalow in West Hollywood, where she raised her daughter and grandchildren, persisted her interest in esotericism, and produced artwork and poetry. You can find Night Tide and Wormwood Star on YouTube and elsewhere on the internet. And yeah, that is the story. That is the rather condensed story of the widow of Jack Parsons and had this incredible second or third or even fourth act kind of life after his death, where she, you know, could have become this weird cult leader. She could have become this, person, this avant-garde kind of filmmaker person. She, appeared in a number of those Kenneth Anger and Harrington kind of films. And, or just, made a name for herself for making very odd and occult-inspired apocalyptic art. Probably the most surprising thing about her is that she just lived so long after really living such a intense and odd life. I find her life really inspiring. A big part of being alive and being human is to try to experience a diversity of experiences and try to kind of move through them with some kind of grace and ethics. And I think that she kind of did as best she could. Let's hear a reading of Cinderella in the Wasteland by Marjorie Cameron Parsons Kimmel.
7 times I rap upon the mighty door of the subterranean vault. Open. Open. I stand without in the drafty and bent corridor that approaches thy lair. 7 times resound my summons on the stony door and the dead stern caves, and curse the midnight hour, come thou forth. I bear a lamp for this terrible darkness. Thou shalt behold the face known in dreams. Mine eyes are terrible and strange, but thou knowest me. Behold, my garments are of a rich cloth, and I bear the air of a land of bounty beyond the sea. Come forth.
Thou art in the shadow of the light I bear, and thy garments reek of the dead and the sun misplaced. We shall ascend the stair, which is fraught with unwholesome things. The stone rolls before me, and into the blazing vault of the night of nights we go forth as light. Dark star, I seek you in all the endless rooms of the universe. I have entered the maze of chaos and searched the promises, no end and no fulfillment, but I have seen your helmeted head flashing gold from all the bloody triumphs and sunsets of the world. I have heard your voice singing lonely songs of desire in the wild wind. I remember the artistry of fingers that held the rose in wonder, your musical throat sounding the hymn of love, seeking since the birth and the crashing star nebula. Kingdoms of muscle and star foam, pursued and pursuing, radiant warrior. How long, my beloved God, how long, how long, how long?
The story of a cold case will continue. This is an intermission episode. Let's end this with an affirmation.
Our voices get clearer.
It somehow gets easier to know the things you know.
To apologize when you wrong someone.
To love and share the odd and godly thing that you are.
Writing and making art.
Making ritual.
Making a gathering.
Making a life.
With a kid.
With a partner.
It transmutes me.
Ages me kindly.
If you are in pain, or feel far from your voice.
This moment blesses you right now.
On your path.
To find your practice.
Feel this surge come down the wire.
Go forth.
Electrified with a sense of purpose.
Fumbling joyfully to find the ways you are meant to transmute and express.
To find the will to power within you.
Writing, cooking, drawing, dancing, sewing, metalworking, physics, mechanics, education, video editing, machine learning assembly, martial arts, resistance, dancing, singing, healing, a new kind of practice, praxis.
All your own.
All art, all praxis is a means of reckoning with reality.
Heaven knows this reality can be difficult to reckon with.
But please know that you, making your practice, praxis, even on the smallest scale, spreads a dream of wings through the universe.
Thank you.